Sean Hannity has called its contents worse than Watergate. California Congressman Ted Lieu took a different approach, comparing it to Geraldo Rivera's anticlimactic opening of Al Capone's vault on live television. I'm talking, of course, about the so-called Nunes memo, written by Tulare Congressman Devin Nunes, chair of the powerful House Intelligence Committee. Nunes has been one of the most unlikely national figures of the last year. That's also made him an election year target, not just locally, but on a national level. So what does this national story mean here in the Valley? Joining us now is Fresno State political science professor Jeff Cummins. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We'll get into the nuances of the Nunes memo itself in just a bit. But before we do that, just some context on the way his role has played out in the last year in the House Intelligence Committee and the committee itself and its actions. High profile in the news on just about every day, it seems, in this issue of Russian interference in the election. And the divide between Democrats and Republicans on an intelligence committee, is that significant, or is there precedent for this type of partisan rancor in an intelligence capacity?
No, I think I would say that it is significant because we've been going through these partisan battles here really since the early 1990s is when we saw the split really take off. And of course, we're well aware now that it's very nasty in terms of the partisanship. But one thing that was always a constant throughout that was that when it came to national security, intelligence, and defense, usually there was bipartisan agreement on how we should approach these issues. And I would say that at least in recent recollections, I cannot think of a more partisan battle that has taken place on the Intelligence Committee, and it's a committee that has traditionally not been politicized. So I would, definitely say that this is significant and unprecedented.
Now, there's also a national narrative out there that Congressman Nunes is not up to the task or is overmatched. Sometimes, I guess you could say one of the characterizations might be sort of a country bumpkin. That's not my characterization, but what I've seen out there. Are those critics underestimating what Nunes is doing?
Well, I mean, I don't think it does any good to throw those characterizations out there. I mean, I think if you kind of step back and look at the overall context of what Nunes has done, he certainly has a penchant for gaining national attention and inserting himself into these very controversial issues. You know, you can recall that early on when his committee was investigating the connection between Russia and the 2016 presidential election, how he famously did the midnight run where he took this information that the Obama administration had been surveilling some of his staff, or at least they had been swept up in the surveillance that was done. He does this really strange thing where he goes to President Trump as soon as he finds out this information. That was really, really unprecedented. Especially when you're the head of the committee that is looking into these connections between the president and Russia. So that was one very strange act. Of course, that led to his stepping down and an ethics investigation, which he was later cleared of. So, just that one act alone is enough to raise questions about where his loyalties lie, I would say. And then we have this second incident now where, you step back and look at the larger picture of someone who served on Trump's transition team. We already have this first midnight run strange act. We have the second thing where he writes a memo and essentially confirms, if you want to say that, this was first brought up on Sean Hannity's radio show or shows, that there's a conspiracy going on in this Russia investigation against Trump, that the FBI and Department of Justice were against Trump from the very beginning. But then it's a classified memo that can't be released and nobody can really see it, outside of a few House intelligence. It's really, just strains the credibility, I would say, of what he's doing when you look at the larger picture.
So let's go ahead and talk about the memo itself. According to the New York Times, and the memo itself has not been publicly released, although members of Congress and now the FBI have apparently seen it. According to the Times, at least part of the memo alleges that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein signed off on a secret surveillance request to the FISA court involving surveillance of Trump aide Carter Page, at least in part using information from the infamous Steele dossier, which was created by opposition research firm Fusion GPS and paid for by the Clinton campaign. Democrats are rejecting these assertions as either inaccurate or overblown. What if there is some evidence of either wrongdoing or mistakes made in this process? I understand Speaker Ryan has some comments on that today. How do you interpret that?
Well, I think on first blush, I don't see a lot wrong with it. Rod Rosenstein, that is his job to approve these applications. Now, remember, these applications still have to go before a judge to determine whether or not there's enough evidence to put, in this case, Carter Page, and then there are other applications as well, under surveillance. So it's not as if Rod Rosenstein was authorizing the surveillance. It still has to go through the judicial process to make sure that there's enough evidence to do this. I don't think there's a lot there. It's from my perspective, I tend to agree with those that this is just a big smoke screen to try and distract from the larger Russia investigation. And I don't think we can emphasize enough that this investigation is extremely, extremely important, and that we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that everybody agrees, including Republicans, that Russia meddled in our elections. That alone is a very serious charge. And then there's the possibility that you have a presidential candidate, now president, possibly involved. That's very serious. And I think that this memo has been very effective at distracting us from that larger, much more serious issue.
Is it significant, though, that Speaker Ryan didn't try to distance himself from the memo, but tried to draw a line between the Russia investigation and this matter?
No, I think, you know, we got the reports today that Speaker Ryan had a meeting with House Republicans and basically said for them not to put too much credence in this memo and not get carried away with what is in it. And I think that's pretty significant. I think that's at least a little indicator that he thinks what is in there is not everything that's being made of it by Nunes and other Republicans, that he's trying to tamp down these expectations that this is just going to, you know, blow up the Russia investigation and, you know, we're going to change directions on it. You know, and I would say, and one of the things about these partisan battles is trying to navigate who to believe and who not to believe. And one of the things that I tend to look to is what are, you know, the fellow partisans saying. In this case, it's Speaker Ryan. You know, of course, everybody's going to pay attention to what he says. So I tend to give a lot of weight when the co-partisans, right, the people who are on the same side of, in this case, these allegations, are saying, actually, let's tamp down the expectations here. And, you know, it's not everything that everybody's saying.
Is it significant also that the Nunes memo, whatever is in it, and again, we haven't seen it publicly yet, is itself not a primary source document? It's a memo written by Nunes about other intelligence or information that it's likely we will not see.
Oh, absolutely. I think that makes a lot of difference. That's what Adam Schiff, the Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, was saying, that it's misleading. They didn't interpret everything. They left out parts. And let's you know, go back to what is at stake here is that, you know, supposedly the FBI relied on this dossier from this Democratic paid opposition researcher. I think his name's Christopher Steele, if I remember correctly. That, of course, the FBI is going to, if this is information that's available to them on this Russian investigation, of course they're going to take it under consideration. Now, the question is that the only thing they relied on? You know, I don't think we would expect them to ignore it, but certainly it wouldn't be the only piece of information that they rely on to then do surveillance on President Trump's campaign staff. And that's what Democrats are saying. It wasn't the only piece of information that the FBI was relying on to conduct this investigation.
Or if in some way the FBI corroborated some of the information in the dossier. Moving on to the political angle here, let's say that this does go forward, as some of the president's critics say he might use this as pretext to dismiss Rod Rosenstein from at the FBI. How does this play in the local politics of this congressman, Devin Nunes? He's in what's normally thought of as a safe district, but if this continues to escalate, is there a risk that he has to be careful with not getting too tied to the Trump administration, or is that a foregone conclusion, that boat has sailed? Tied to Trump no matter what.
Yeah, I think there is definitely a risk for Congressman Nunes that this possibly, let's just say for speculation's sake, that President Trump does fire Rod Rosenstein. And one thing I would point out here is that Rosenstein was an appointee of President Trump and confirmed by Senate Republicans, right? So this is your own guy, essentially, if we want to, frame it that way, that you're then firing. And I think it's another piece of evidence that we can use that possibly President Trump is trying to cover something up here, and it will potentially inspire more voters within Congressman Nunes' district to go to the polls in the upcoming elections.
I want to go to that now. There was a poll released by Public Policy Polling, which is a Democratic polling organization that came out in mid-January, showing Nunes against a generic Democratic opponent and putting Nunes at 50%, the generic Democrat polling at 45%. Should we really pay any attention to that sort of poll right now? Again, it was released by also the campaign of Andrew Jans, who's one of the candidates seeking to challenge Nunes. Is this something that's really credible at this point?
I think it's credible. It's something we don't want to ignore, but I think we should also view it with some caution, particularly, the fact that it's coming from Nunes's potential challenger. It's one poll, you have to remember. But I think it's definitely an indicator that, and this is what we expected with what has taken place with Congressman Nunes, with the Midnight Run and kind of these other controversial matters that he's been a part of, that we would expect that the race should be closer in this Republican, lopsided district. So I think if we have a couple of more polls, maybe from other polling organizations that show this, that, yeah, it's going to be a very close race.
Before we go, what will it take for national Democrats to start dropping money into this race? What should we look for there?
I mean, I think if Congressman Nunes's name stays out there and this memo kind of falls flat on Nunes, and we have some more polls that come out that show that this race is tight, I think you'll definitely see them start dumping money into the district. The race is already on the radar of the, election prognosticators. So I think it's already out there, and National Democratic Party is just looking for more signs that this is a worthwhile race to dump their money into.
All right, Fresno State political science professor Jeff Cummins talking about the Nunes memo and the local political fallout